You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Each week, I, John Wall, will bring you the latest gaming impressions, news, and industry happenings delivered to you in under 15 minutes to fit your busy life. On today's episode, we will be talking about yesterday's Nintendo Direct. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please take a moment to do so. And I would also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. You can also find the show and join in on the conversation by finding us on Twitter or Facebook by searching for Midlife SQ. This past weekend was Father's Day, and since I didn't do a show last Thursday, let me wish all of you dads out there a happy belated Father's Day. I had a really good day. It was also my daughter's 12th birthday, and so we ended up doing an escape room in the morning, which is what she had wanted to do for her birthday. We then had lunch at the Cheesecake Factory and took her all around the mall to let her shop for clothes and makeup and things that 12-year-old girls want. It was a very nice day. It also, though, it had me thinking a little bit, with now a 12 and a 15-year-old, I'm quickly coming to the end of that stage in fatherhood where we're preparing our children for the world and teaching them the skills they need to survive, and we're getting ready to send them off into adulthood with, you know, the hopes that we did a good job and didn't screw them up too badly. Also, this year will mark the 20th anniversary of when my dad passed away. I was 26 years old at the time, and I'm not saying that, like, I'm expecting a similar fate, but, you know, my recent health issues have reminded me that the time we have with our kids can be painfully short. So I've been thinking about, you know, fatherhood a lot the last week or so, and I hope that I have done a good job, and I hope that I get to spend as much time as I possibly can with them and see the young adults that they become. And if that means that I'm going to be spending my Father's Day shopping at Sephora and H&M, then that is absolutely fine with me. Summer Game Fest is over. The games have been revealed. Reporters have all left Los Angeles and gone home. But the summer announcement season isn't over until Nintendo says it's over. And yesterday they held a 40-minute Nintendo Direct to finally pull back the curtain and reveal what else we can expect this year beyond Zelda and Pikmin, as the Switch prepares to ride off into the sunset. And I was actually surprised with the amount of great-looking games shown. I thought this was one of the best Nintendo Directs that I've seen in quite a long time. I was very, very happy with what they showed off. So let's jump into the big announcements. I'm not going to have time to talk about every single thing shown, but they started off with, you know, something that Pokemon fans will be very excited about, and that is the DLC for Scarlet and Violet, as well as a brand new Detective Pikachu game. Now, I'm not a Pokemon guy. I've said this before. It was a little bit past my time when I would have really got into it. But I think that the DLC, which is titled The Teal Mask and the Indigo Disc, looks pretty slick. You know, I've always, you know, been tempted to jump into Pokemon and you know, try it out and you know, this looks pretty cool. I don't know if I'm actually going to do it. Probably not. But it looks fun. I've also never played Detective Pikachu, and although I did see the movie. I thought the movie was pretty good. But I think it's great that Nintendo can have some fun with this series and make Pikachu a grizzled coffee-drinking detective. Nintendo can oftentimes be very protective of its characters and its properties, so I like that they can kind of, you know, poke a little fun at them and do something like this. Both of these reveals looked very good to me. The Metal Gear Solid Master Collection is coming to the Switch in October, and that includes the first three Metal Gear Solid games, as well as the original NES games. This collection looks loaded with lots of cool extras for fans of the series, including strategy guides and digital soundtracks and concept arts. It looks like, you know, if you are a Metal Gear fan, this is going to be really, really exciting for you. The one thing that I was hoping this version would include was the Twin Snakes remake that came out on the GameCube of the original game. It doesn't appear to be on here. I've never played that version of the game, so I would have loved to been able to check that out, but it doesn't seem to be the case. Either way, looks like a great collection. Wario is getting another weird-ass game with WarioWare Move It. I'll be honest, I don't really get the appeal of these games. I don't know. The humor is not for me. The micro game, you know, thing isn't for me. But if you're a fan, you know, and there are lots of fans, it definitely looks like more of that nose-picking humor that the series is known for. Next, Vampire Survivors is coming to Switch, and this seems like a really great fit. I played quite a bit of that game on Xbox, and it is addictive and fun as heck. Releasing it on the Switch seems like a no-brainer, being able to take it on the go. And if you haven't yet checked it out, make sure you do when it drops on the Switch. I don't know what the price is going to be. It was on Game Pass on Xbox, but on the PC, I think it's like $5. So I think it's pretty cheap, and you get a lot of game for that money. Pikmin got some much-deserved love with an extended look at the upcoming Pikmin 4, and also an announcement that HD versions of Pikmin 1 and 2 are available right now on the Switch. I think you get both games for $50. I don't know if I need to revisit those games, especially right now with the sequel so close. But, you know, if you're a completionist or you want to catch up on, you know, all that heavy Pikmin lore and backstory, you now have that option. Pikmin 4 continues to look great. It is both familiar, but there's enough new going on to be really interesting. The visuals look simple, but pretty and effective. You have a cute new dog companion that goes around with you, and you can now explore the world at night where there are new challenges and a brand new Pikmin type, the Glow Pikmin, I believe they are called. So that's really cool. The environments also look to be a bit more diverse this time around, and we got a look at both a living room level as well as an underground area. Tinykin, which came out last year, really threw down the gauntlet, and for me it evolved the concept in some cool new ways. So I'm hoping that Pikmin 4 can now step up and show that it can also evolve and improve on that formula. And finally, for the Mario fans out there, oh boy, do we just get a bunch of announcements to get excited for. Seriously, you know, as a Switch owner, I've been a little disappointed that they, you know, seem to focus so much attention on, you know, frankly, a lot of weird JRPGs that I'm not really into, instead of their classic roster of characters who I think have been underutilized. And this direct was aimed right at me to show me that they haven't forgotten the games that got them all their success in the first place. We got a couple of announcements for games coming next year in 2024, like a new standalone Princess Peach game. It was a short video. We didn't even get the title of it, but it was, it seems to be a platformer with Peach on stage, and it looks like the sets and the backgrounds change between each level. Conceptually, I think that's really cool. It's a neat idea, and I'm anxious to learn more about that game. We're also getting a remake of Luigi's Mansion 2, which was exclusive to the 3DS, but will now be going to Switch next year. I love the series, but I never played this one due to not really being a big handheld player. So more Luigi's Mansion is a good thing, and I am down to suck some more ghosts. Suck up some more ghosts. Mario fans also have plenty to be excited for this year. In November, we're getting a remake of the absolutely wonderful Super Mario RPG. This classic Super Nintendo title introduced those characters to the RPG mechanics and the sense of humor that would be used in series like the Mario and Luigi and the Paper Mario games. And this remake looks really good. It looks well done. The visuals look fun. It looks very faithful to the original. I'm curious to see if they, keep it 100% accurate, or if they add some new little things here and there. And it's going to be a great way for new fans to play one of the best Mario titles. And then finally, they ended the show with a banger. Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I don't love the title, but oh well. It is a new side-scrolling adventure with a great creative art style. That was one of the big criticisms of new Super Mario Brothers. Those games were fun to play, but the art was vanilla. This one looks much, much better. And it has a new mechanic whereby collecting, I think they're called Wonder Flowers, you transform the world into a trippy stage where anything can happen, like pipes moving by themselves, and it looks like a new Super Mario Brothers game, but halfway through the level Mario drops acid. It's hard to put into words. Just go take a look at it. It looks great. It's got 4-player co-op, and Mario turned into an elephant at the end of the trailer. So yeah, let's do it. Like I said, this was a great direct. It capped off the summer showcase season with loads of cool looking games, and it shows that the Switch isn't just going to putter out like maybe some of us had feared before we get that inevitable Switch 2 reveal. Instead, there is plenty of games to look forward to until that happens. So bravo, Nintendo. That's how it's done. Every week I end the show with some positive vibes. A special shout out to somebody amazing in an attempt to make the gaming space a bit more welcoming and to spread some joy. All of this month, I am highlighting people and groups in the LGBTQ+ community as a part of Pride Month, and this week's positive vibes go out to Uppercut. They are a media group who creates gaming content which is focused on highlighting marginalized voices. They feature probably the most diverse group of talent around. One of the things about gaming press and gaming criticism is it can look like me. It can look very white and very male and very straight. So I am so glad that they're out there doing their thing. And if you want to support unique and different games coverage, check them out, uppercutcrit.com. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. Don't forget that you can catch a new episode every Thursday morning, sometimes afternoon, wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. You can follow the show on Twitter and Facebook, where we go by Midlife SQ. So, until next time, be well and keep playing.